Hello, and welcome back to episode 14 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast, covering week 11 of the NFL season. James, it's been a pretty crazy week.
I'd say so.
We have no lossless teams, winless teams.
I know.
We still have a lossless team.
Yeah,
we probably do. Just for one more week, though.
Yeah.
I think Denver can take care of Kansas City,
they
right?
They can, although if they don't...
True, don't know, and Peyton Manning's maybe hurt? One knows. He's... sore, whatever that means. So, James, do you think that, it's very well publicized that when the last undefeated team gets defeated, the members of the undefeated Miami Dolphins team break out bottles of champagne. Do you think that when the last fully winless team gets defeated, the Lions players just, you know, take shots of something? Or...
Yeah, in fact, I'm pretty sure I saw that happen during the Detroit game. I know that Tampa Bay had not, in fact, yet won, but they could see into the future.
And
could see on the sideline.
You know, it was really bad. I guess this will double as our witch watch for the week. It's really bad to lose an entire season, but it does give you the power of future sight.
Right, yeah.
So... there's pluses and minuses.
Yeah, you know, it's not something that a lot of people talk about much, because, you know, America's not really a country that's historically been very accepting of witchcraft. But, you know, the Lions had a plan going into that perfect season.
Yeah.
And the plan was they wanted to be able to see the future.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Exactly. And all those guys, to this day, can totally see the future.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really, you know, we talk a lot about damage to the players from an ongoing NFL season and, you know, what it does to their brains. But every once in a while, it's worth it to remember that there are some good things that come out of that. Namely, the ability to see the future.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes...
not for most players, just for this one set of players.
Exactly. So. You know, sometimes cancer's bad, it causes... non-helpful mutations, right?
Yeah.
But there are also such things as helpful mutations.
Exactly. That's how the species improves. And
exactly.
In this case, the species improves by losing all of the games in the NFL season, which now we know is not going to happen again this year.
I know.
So,
I gotta say, I'm more sad about that than I am about almost anything that's happened this season. Thing that made me the most
really,
sad...
I was gunning for the double defeated. I thought that was going to be really
double
fun.
Double defeated, yeah.
Yeah.
Number one thing that made me sad this year, Antoine Winfield.
Oh, yeah.
Number two thing, no winless teams.
No winless teams. Mm-hmm. As I said, still an undefeated team, but I'm confident. That one's not going to see its way through. So, All right, well, with that, we will move into a brief recap of last week's action, week 10 of the NFL, after the break. Well, James, in addition to two winless teams getting their first wins in week 10 of the NFL season, there was a very surprising loss, or surprising win, depending on how you look at it. The Rams beat the Colts 38-8.
Yeah.
We both watched this game, and I have to assume that the Rams beating the Colts 38-8, holding the Colts to 8 points, was because of a stellar defensive performance on the Rams front.
Yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you? And
I did think it.
You wouldn't be entirely wrong about that. The Rams defense did play pretty well. The front, especially Robert Quinn, Quislong, and
the rest of the defensive line.
Played really well. And we knew we knew from the beginning of the season that the Colts offensive line has problems. Earlier this year, Andrew Luck was on pace to be the most sacked quarterback in NFL history.
Yep.
But they had seemed to have stabilized as the year had gone on, and everything they had done seemed to go straight out the window for this game. But in addition to that, Andrew Luck just looked really bad out
on
the field.
Yeah, it was weird. There was a series, I think it was like two possessions in a row, where there was a wide-open T.Y. Hilton. He would have been deep for a touchdown, basically, and Andrew Luck threw it off target, and he couldn't catch it. And then the next series, there was the same thing, but... it was the Rams, and Kellen Clemens threw it on target, and the guy scored.
Exactly.
It was like the exact same play, and it's just weird. It was just a weird game.
It was so weird. Yeah, it's weird when you are thinking to yourself during this game, you're like, hold on, I can't tell the difference between Kellen Clemens and Andrew Luck, which is never a sentence that should be spoken. Just would like not ever. Think so.
All right, well, you know, we both watched that game. I didn't really come away with it any information about the Rams' defense, other than that those defensive linemen are both really good. It is nice to see Chris Long has put together a couple good weeks in a row. I think at the beginning, you know, maybe the fourth or fifth week of the season, we kind of wrote off Chris Long in favor of Robert Quinn. So
yeah.
I think that you can feel comfortable with either of those two players. I mean, definitely comfortable with Robert Quinn, yes. But I think that you can feel comfortable with Chris Long starting at defensive end for your team. So that's a takeaway.
Yeah.
James, I'm just going to go rapid fire through a couple of the top scorers from last week. Right. And we'll see
it's like free what association. You think about them.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Vincent Ray, Cincinnati, 15 tackles, 3 sacks, and an interception.
Never heard of him. Greatest defensive performance I've ever seen.
Yeah, craziness. And he gets into the lineup only because, like, two other players get injured and go out. So Malaga goes out for the game and another guy goes out, and he winds up starting all the remaining snaps. And he has this crazy game.
Yeah.
It
helps that the Ravens are a disastrophe on the field, which is, I don't know. I don't even know how they won this game. It's just, I know, Ravens fans out there, you can be mad at me all you want. Actually,
they won because their defense held Cincinnati to 3 points for, like, more than a half, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, exactly.
They didn't win it, you know.
Exactly. I just, yeah, I have mixed feelings about that game, but... what a spectacular performance. That might be the greatest performance we see all year, yeah, you know.
Why not? I mean, Vincent Ray, I think if Malaga's going to be out and he's going to be starting, he's mm-hmm. obviously proved he can do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you need... You know, at some point, you get late in the season and we get kind of bored talking about things because it's, you know, you've kind of settled into your teams. But mm-hmm. And the waiver wire pickups are so boring because, like, all the good players are gone. And every once in a while, someone just shows up to take a starting position. Like, this right. guy might be the starting middle linebacker for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That would be valuable. If that's the case, that is a player you want on your team.
Yeah.
You know, if Malaga comes back and he goes right back to the bench, well, then you don't want him on your team.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, you have to kind of monitor the news and decide how you feel about that. All right, from the same game, James Ahedebo has a huge game... And then gives up the most important play at the end on the Hail Mary, knocks the ball straight up to AJ Green after a really good game to that point.
Yeah, I have to say, so we're sitting there watching that game on Sunday, and I remember the thing that you said was, it has got to be the worst feeling in the world to look at a play and think, if I had just fallen down at some point... That play would have gone so much better.
Yeah, if he had just not been there.
Yeah.
All he had to do was not be there, and the ball hits the ground, and they don't catch it, and right. they win in regulation by 7.
Yeah, and of course, instead... he can't know that, obviously.
No, certainly
but,
not.
But also, that's just got to be a terrible feeling. You know, thank God for him that they the Ravens managed to kick that field goal.
Yeah. I will say that I love Hail Marys. I wish they happened more often.
Me too.
I think that one or two works every year, and mm-hmm. I think that's a good percentage of them, but I just, you know, what's more exciting than seeing that ball just yeah. flung down the field and a bunch of people jump up for it?
I'm reminded of last year when the Carolina tried one of these Hail Marys, and the ball bounced off of, like, 7 different people before a diving, like, Godfrey caught it,
headed
towards the ground, and you're
just, great.
That's the most exciting play in football, probably.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. The rest of the big performances from last week, I don't know, I don't really have too much to say about any of these. J.J. Watt's still really good.
Yeah.
Levante David picks up a safety, which is great. I mean, you know, it's rare enough to get a safety, but to get one out of a player that you were probably actually starting
right.
is, you know, even better.
Yeah.
It's just... At this point in the year, I think that you pretty much know what you're doing. There are a couple injured players who... You know, you have to check up on. Paul Posluszny went out with a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he's okay, because if not, I don't know. How bad can the Jacksonville Jaguars... I mean, they just won
They've won, I guess, right?
So,
honestly, they could tank the rest of the season now, and they can say, look, we didn't lose all the games. So it probably doesn't matter. But without Paul Posluszny, I think that team gets noticeably worse than it already is.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything about... their backups in the linebacker position, and there's certainly no one on that team who can play to his level.
Yeah, I mean, at the point when we're recording this, they're still pretty optimistic that Poznański's going to play, but it's definitely worth checking up on. You want to have a backup, and I don't think that backup should be the backup to Paul Poznański from the Jaguars.
No.
You want to have a backup, and that should be a player from a different team.
Yeah, like Vincent Ray.
Sure, why not? Yeah, Vincent Ray.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still want Paul Poznański to play, but just in case. Just in case. James, do you have any other games you want to talk about? I thought, I guess maybe we should talk briefly about the Dallas Cowboys, who gave up a, I think, NFL record 41 first downs to the Saints.
Yeah.
I heard that. I think they gave up more, almost gave up more first downs. I guess it was 40. I think they gave up 40 first downs, and their offense ran 41 plays.
Wow.
It was very close.
Yeah, that's...
If Sean Lee is injured for a, like, meaningful period of time, Dallas's defense is going to have serious problems.
Yes, I agree. Only making the race to the bottom of the NFC East a more exciting contest over the course of this year. I can't speak lowly enough about the NFC East this year, I think. It's a really exciting division to sort of constantly smash your head against a wall.
You know, we had that 7-9 NFC West team a couple years ago.
Yeah, no.
We can do it again.
We could do better.
In fact,
one of these teams could do that.
Yeah,
like, that is perhaps the best part, is that at this point, no one is out of the running in the NFC East. It's just...
Yeah, I'm pretty much all in on rooting for the 7-9. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
It would be so easy to see at this point.
It would be pretty exciting.
Yeah.
James, did you watch the San Francisco-Carolina game? It went down basically like we said it would.
Yeah, I didn't.
I did not either, because I'm saving it. I want to watch it with the coach's film.
Yeah.
I'm, like, saving that game. Like, I'm, like, letting it age.
Yeah. It's like a fine whiskey. You need it to sit in a barrel for a period of time.
Once the coach's film is out, I'm planning on watching that. I might watch it instead of the Indianapolis game on Thursday this week.
That sounds like a... You know what? We should just have a viewing party. An anti-Thursday night football viewing party.
It takes a lot less time,
party.
So.
Yeah, the coach's film. Even though you have to watch every play twice. Just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so that's two really good defenses going up against each other, guys. If you have your players on Carolina and San Francisco, you're happy, and you should be. And if you're not, then you're an idiot or something. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of valuable players on both of those teams. I'm guessing most of our listeners know that, and they're playing them appropriately, I would think.
I would hope so. As far as everything else that happened last week, I feel like I've said this the last couple of weeks, but it was a strange week for football.
Yeah, it was unusual. There were definitely some surprises. I mean, you know, I think that Rams and that Jaguars game, I don't know, football's dumb.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, you can't predict some of the stuff. That's what makes it fun.
Exactly.
It's kind of crazy. So, I don't know. Well, I think we have a shorter than normal episode for you, but I don't really have anything else to say about what happened. I think most of, you know, the vast majority of the games went more or less the way we thought they would. In fact, including that Carolina game. So we'll spend a little more time talking about games for next week, making some predictions.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Well, James, let's begin our preview the way we always do, with the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Colts at Titans. Divisional matchup.
Yeah.
Titans are 4-5 and still playoff relevant despite having just lost to the Jaguars, which really should disqualify you for the playoffs somehow. But it doesn't, so they're still relevant. We still like the Titans defense, right?
Absolutely. Okay. I can't exactly explain what happened last week to the Titans, but I'm going to claim that it is not the defense's fault.
Yeah. I think it should be a good game for the players that normally score well in Tennessee. I think
I agree.
Indianapolis's line is pretty bad, so it's probably a good week for those of you starting defensive linemen. Jarrell Casey in particular should be wreaking havoc there. And,
So I've been thinking about this. I could see this game going maybe not as bad, but pretty close to the Rams-Colts game. I mean, the Colts are playing... It's maybe the Colts are playing away. It's a divisional game. It's a heated rivalry. We know that something is really seriously wrong with the Colts' offensive line. Like...
Yeah, I don't know.
It does... It is true. It would require Andrew Luck playing badly again. Like...
I just think that there were so many parts of the Colts that were playing badly in that game, and that the chance that... I think that, you know, teams, when they get kind of embarrassed like that, I think that they, you know, they redouble their efforts.
Right.
You know, I don't, you know, I'm not saying this couldn't happen. It's not like last week we had a thing where you said, this is the week you should start the Giants lineman, do you think? And I was like, no, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's crazy. I'm not like, no, I definitely don't think that could happen. But I do, you know, I think it's more likely that we see a normal good Colts game than a bad Colts game.
That is certainly what the Colts will be hoping for.
Although... Yeah, that's what I expect. But, you know, the Thursday games are so weird that it's hard to even say. But, you know, both of these teams, it's interesting to get the two teams with the worst losses from last week paired up against each other for this week. So,
Both teams fired up and ready to go.
I don't have that much to say about the fantasy players, but it should be interesting, if nothing else, just to see which team can kind of bounce back from bad losses better in this one.
I'll say this, if you are hurting for linebackers and you're looking for one of these fill-in middle linebackers and Vincent Ray has already been stolen up, Colin McCarthy is starting for the injured.
Yeah, and had a good game.
Has had two good games in a row. He had a really great game last week and a solidly average game the week before. He's settling into that middle linebacker role pretty well. If you need people, just be on the lookout for injured middle linebackers and grab their replacements.
Yeah, doesn't hurt. Doesn't
Can't hurt.
All right, let's look at the rest. Some more games coming up this week 11. How do you feel about Cardinals at Jaguars from the Cardinals defense? Let's not talk about the Jaguars at all. I'm done talking about the Jaguars until otherwise noted.
I think the Cardinals defense is going to have a good game this week. I don't think that the team we shall not speak of anymore is going to present too many problems for the defense. I believe that they are a solid team, sort of. They may not be stellar in any particular position.
The Cardinals' defense has been solid all year. I mean, I think my main concern is whether the Jaguars won't run enough plays.
So that's an interesting, point.
But I still think you have to start everyone, because anyone can get an interception in this game. Anyone can get the fumbles sort of thing. So,
right.
You know, and I also think there should be a number of sacks available for you Calais Campbell or Darryl Washington owners.
Absolutely.
And John Abraham, all those guys. Cardinals, how do you feel about the Cardinals' playoff potential?
I actually feel really good about them. I think that the Cardinals are a team with a very solid defense and an offense that doesn't make mistakes, right?
It's never been said about Carson Palmer before, but sure.
Yeah, I think that Carson Palmer has been in the league long enough and has come to terms with, you know, his career has been plagued by injury to himself. He is a shadow of the player he was drafted as. Mm-hmm. But he's been in the league long enough to have experience and, more importantly, to learn, hopefully, the limits of his injuries, right? I think that as the season has gone on, he's made fewer and fewer mistakes. I think he's not Alex Smith, who would be the ideal quarterback for a team that does not have a stellar offense, right? He's like the perfect game-managing, will-not-lose-you-the-game quarterback in all of football history, maybe. But Carson Palmer is a decent substitute for an Alex Smith in this scenario. I think that the Cardinals have a good chance at the playoffs. I'm not 100% sure they could go all the way, but make it to the playoffs for sure.
I'm pretty sure Cardinals fans would be happy enough just to make it to the playoffs. You know, you got to count your blessings there. Lions defensive line gets to work against that horrible Steelers offensive line.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's going to go great for the Lions. Yeah. I'll say this. The Steelers have disappointed me by playing better than I thought the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
but
they have.
This week, the Lions are going to save me. They're going to lay the smackdown on the Steelers. And
Yeah, every year there's a division where all the teams can potentially make the playoffs, can potentially win it. Like, there's a bunch of teams right around, you know, 6-8 to 8-6 with 2 weeks to go. And I thought it was going to be the NFC East.
Right.
And then the Redskins lost to the Vikings, so I've ruled that out. So yes. Now I'm all in on the AFC North as being the division where everyone is, like, close to each other. You know, the Bengals had a big head start, but they do not
They've
look
good. They've been flagging a lot,
I mean, it hurts to lose two of your best defensive players in a short span.
It absolutely does. Yeah.
Defensive game of the week. Jets at Bills?
Jets at Bills? That could be pretty good. I know that we were just talking about the Bengals being injured, but Browns at Bengals.
Browns
That's
at Bengals.
Two of
is
our
a good
favorite defensive lines
well.
are squaring off against each other. But let's talk about Jets at Bills first. I've been excited by both of these teams this year. They're scrappy. They're fun to watch.
And especially the defensive lines both are kind of have a way of dominating games.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea who's going to win this one.
Me neither.
I think it's like down to chance almost.
Yeah, basically. You know? It's like the greatest defensive tackles in Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson, and then Kiko Alonso and an incredible linebacking core on the Bills. It's just, I don't even know how to tell what's going to happen there. It's going to
be... This could easily be another 10-9.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, of course, now that we're saying that, it's going to be 50-30 or whatever. But...
Let's say 10-9, the 10 comes from 5 safeties. Let's just say that.
Sure.
Let's just say that.
Yeah. And the 9 comes from
four safeties.
Three safeties. Four safeties
four
and one
safeties.
Point. Four safeties and 1 point just given as charity.
I'm sure there is somewhere in the rules we could find a way to award 1 point to a team.
Why not?
Yeah.
Maybe the refs get confused and they get an extra point on one of the safeties.
Yeah.
The refs are like, oh yeah, you just scored, right?
Field goal. Sure, whatever.
Maybe the teams go to line up for it before the refs know what's happening.
Right. You just score the safety, then just line up like you're kicking an extra point.
Exactly. It's all about misdirection, really, more than anything else.
Right. You just need confidence. Just if you act as though you're supposed to kick the extra point, the referees will just assume that you were supposed to.
Exactly. So that's our hope there. 10-9, total of at least 8-9 safeties in that game. Non-defensive game of the week, Redskins at Eagles.
Yeah.
Not much to see there.
No. Oh, I am not looking forward to this game. And also really looking forward to this game. I think,
should be fun. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
They can't play defense. Neither of those teams
can play
defense.
Neither of these teams can play defense.
Should be something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about that at all. How about Chiefs at Broncos?
What do you
think? How do you think the Chiefs defense can... What are we looking at from a Chiefs defense perspective here? The Broncos defense, you pretty much know who you are or are not playing.
Yeah. So, we all know Peyton Manning loves to throw the ball.
We do. He does.
We also know that the Chiefs defense is competent all around, basically. So
pretty
he's going to have to throw the ball, because the Broncos running game is not above average, let's
say. Yeah, I mean, the Broncos running game is good because he audibles it into good situations.
Exactly.
Right? It's not inherently.
Right, exactly. And if the Chiefs are as solid as we think they are, which I'm pretty sure that I feel comfortable saying.
I think
that.
Their defense is as solid as we think they
are.
Yeah,
exactly. That I think it's going to be a lot of, double-covered Demaryius Thomas and Peyton Manning trying to throw the ball through tiny windows. And
I don't think it's going to be a lot of double-covered Demaryius Thomas, because if you do that, they'll just throw it to all the other guys,
Also,
the Chiefs have been using Flowers one-on-one against receivers like Thomas.
Receivers,
I mean, against Dez Bryant and all that. But I mean, the Broncos are going to have to do what they do, which is to say spread the ball around and take their opportunities. And the Chiefs have a solid system. Like, their system is wait for the opponents to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So if Peyton Manning makes mistakes, if maybe he is actually injured and he can't move around as well or his throws are off, I think the Chiefs can win again.
I think so, too.
I don't think that he is injured particularly, and I think that he will move around, and I think he will win this game. But...
Right.
It's certainly not a guarantee.
Right.
You know?
I agree that I think this game is going to come down to which team screws up
the
worst. I think these are two really good football teams.
Yeah.
That where neither is clearly better than the other.
Yes. Yeah. And I will say specifically that, just for a specific, maybe relevant fantasy advice, that If you have Chiefs pass rushers, I think that's a good opportunity, yeah. You know. Between the fact that the Broncos' defensive or offensive line isn't really that good begin with, and that Peyton Manning may not be at full mobility.
Right, and even when he's at full mobility, it's not that mobile.
Yeah, he might not even be at full Peyton Manning mobility. Think right. about that.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a Tamba Hali owner, you're a Dontari Poe owner, any of these type of guys, I think that this is a good game for you. Let's talk one more. Let's do the Monday night Patriots at Panthers. Which side wins out? Patriots dominant offense and bad defense, or Panthers sometimes good offense and good defense?
I'm going to go with the Panthers on this one. I really think that this is going to be the case where you're going to see that Cam Newton is a good field captain for this Carolina offense, going to be able to take advantage of a pretty abysmal Patriots defense. And on the other side of the ball, Tom Brady, as much as I hate to say this, is a miracle worker. He has made things happen with people who, you know, undrafted free agents out of college are leading this team to ridiculous victories.
Well, now they've got some of their, like, not to denigrate the college people, but no, some of their real players back.
Yeah, exactly. So. Right. So I think that even though Tom Brady is able to work miracles, I think that the Panthers are solid all around. I think that Tom Brady is not going to have as much time as he is used to having against this front seven.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to in my mind.
Yeah.
If the front seven can get reliable pressure, I think that the Panthers can win. Because we've seen Tom Brady, when he gets hit a lot, he kind of falls apart. I think that's what they have to do. And I think they will do it. But if you go through a couple drives and he's not getting hit, I would be very concerned as the Panthers. Because their defensive backs are not good.
No, they're not. And they are sort of relying on their front seven, too.
Which has been
to
fine
give them more time,
them.
Which has worked. Yeah, exactly.
You know, but if that front seven doesn't get through, if the Patriots figure out ways to pick up their pressure, I think it could be tough times for the Panthers. But I don't think that's going to happen, so.
Yeah, I agree.
Do we have anyone in particular we're starting here? Not really.
I mean,
it's the normal people.
Your Panthers play. Yeah, I don't know.
The Patriots have been running more this year than in the past, so I think, you know, that.
Your linebacking core,
but you're starting those guys anyway. So.
Guess they're some of the best linebackers in football, yeah.
Yep. All right, see, this is why, it's getting a little boring out there.
If we were only more wrong about more things,
that's true.
We'd have way more to talk about.
Yeah, we need to find some more things we disagree about.
Yeah.
We'll work on that for the future. But for now, we're just going to keep it short, move into the outro. Thank you for listening to episode 14 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Eliza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album Giants on iTunes or CD Baby. Our podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. It is produced and edited by Sarah Gonzalez. You can get it in iTunes as well. You can get everything in iTunes, James.
Yeah, I got a sandwich there earlier today.
Yeah, they deliver it right through the screen.
I downloaded it right out of my computer.
It's great. Great stuff. 21st century stuff here.
Yep. You know?
I am running for NFL commissioner. Every week I give a plank for my platform, but the plank this week was going to be really boring, so I'm doing two that are kind of boring.
There we go.
They're very simple. I think that, you know, we're not going to have too much to say about either one of these, but here they go. Plank number one. You should be able to challenge more things. Specifically, you should be able to challenge defensive pass interference.
Yes.
And instead of this thing where you have to get both challenges right to get another one, any challenge you get right gives you another one.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. I know it'll slow the game down a little bit, but it's just like it doesn't make sense. If you're right the one time, you get another challenge. You can be wrong twice in a game, even if it slows us down. I would be okay with the refs having less time. Since our theory, you know, the theory of a challenge is that it should be
immediately apparent.
Well, yeah, and it has to be beyond doubt or whatever. So I wouldn't mind them only having a minute instead of whatever they. I guess they have
specific
time limit
now.
So I wouldn't mind putting a time limit on it to keep it moving. But if you get one right, you get a second one, even if you get the second one, you know, if you get another one wrong. It's just, I think
you can keep challenging
common
until you've
sense
gotten
stuff,
two
guys.
Wrong. So
yeah,
we're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Thing number two. In college this year, they are ejecting players for targeting on head-to-head hits. They should be doing that in the NFL. It's a player safety thing, and I love players getting ejected.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Also, yeah, so let's... Football needs to take a cue from the true American pastime, baseball. Players get ejected all the time in those games. Yeah. You back-sass the referee, he throws you straight out of the game. Somebody tries to argue something that the referee's already decided on, throws you straight out of the game.
Yeah.
Sometimes you cheer for your own team, and the referee throws you straight out of the game.
And who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
Now, I know in football, you know, losing a critical player would be a problem, but they're just, you're going to have to learn. Mm-hmm. Don't sass, don't mess with the refs, and on, you know, don't target people in ways that you shouldn't.
Those plays where people hit the refs or whatever, that should be an immediate ejection.
They actually, I will say, they usually throw those players out. Most of the time they throw those players out. But, you know, if there's something that looks intentional and malicious, you're gone. Don't do that.
I agree.
We're cleaning it up a little bit in here. It's going to be a clean sport under my rules.
I was thinking about this earlier today. I like football in inclement weather, right?
Okay.
All right. And technology has progressed to a point where we can mimic lots of inclement weather conditions, right? Okay. What if each team was allowed to, once per season, game under their preferred inclement weather condition, right? Like, play it in a torrential downpour, or with the field covered in snow, or in the middle of a hurricane.
I think it would be... So when do they have to tell...
Right, so it'd have to be, you know, like, a week in advance. You'd have to be like... Because this would take time to set up, right?
Yeah.
So you can't just be like, during the coin toss, like, I don't even want to play this game in the rain. No. But like a week in advance, you could be like, all right, here's what we need. We need a game in a torrential downpour where no one can see anything. Or like, say you know you're going up against Tom Brady, and you're like, well, okay, what should we do? We should make it so he can't see anything. Yeah, blinding
super windy
snow.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be okay with this. The conditions obviously have to stay the same throughout the game.
Right.
But yeah, you know, we have enough teams in domes that they can get it set up. There, you know, some cities are going to have more trouble producing snow than others, but you're right. This is a technological thing that we can pretty much work out. I would be okay with this.
Yeah.
James may be launching a counter.
What? No. Vice commissioner. That's all I ask. Vice
assistant,
commissioner.
Special assistant to the commissioner.
Exactly. Just a suggestion from the peanut gallery this week. That's all. All
right. Sounds good. James, no hit of the week this week? Or you want to talk offense a little
no
bit?
No defensive hit of the week this week. I like the idea of awarding these offensive hits of the week. I think they're pretty good. I like the rough and tumble offense. I mean, finesse offense is actually probably more beautiful to watch, but every now and then you love to just see a guy lower his shoulder and carry six other people to the end zone with
him. And there's only one of those guys
left. And his name is Adrian Peterson, and he does it constantly.
Yeah.
As a Redskins fan, it hurt to see this, but as a football fan, there were four runs I can count from that game where Adrian Peterson dragged two or more people at least 5 yards. Yeah. One at least was for a touchdown. I will say that Alfred Morris did, very early in the game, attempt an Adrian Peterson impression by shedding four tackles and dragging two other people two more yards. But Adrian Peterson... And Morris had said in a pregame interview that Peterson is his idol. He wants to live up to him. Alfred Morris, very classy guy, very humble guy. Still drives around in an old, like, 1991 Toyota Corolla, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he's on a rookie salary.
Exactly.
Should be driving around.
And, But, yeah, I think Adrian Peterson saw it, and he was like, I appreciate what you're doing, but let me show you how it's done.
Yeah, probably that's all Adrian Peterson ever says to anyone.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anybody...
Appreciate what you're doing, but let me show you something.
Yeah.
Right here. I think, you know, until otherwise noted, offensive hit of the week, just watch
Adrian Peterson.
You know, just go with whatever game he was in, go watch the highlights, and there'll
YouTube
be something.
Week X Adrian Peterson highlights, and there'll be something. Yeah,
exactly. Very good. Well, that's all we have for you this week. We will be back next week, and of course, you can see online our rankings and predictions for the week's games, and you can email us at podcast@alanjackaway.com. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, because I didn't lose all the games. I don't have future sight.
Yeah, me neither. It's going to be exciting, though.
Yeah. I think that We would be a lot better at fantasy football, both playing and analyzing, if we had the gift of future sight.
That's true. But also, would it make it too easy?
Yeah. There's pluses and minuses here, you know. Every blessing is a curse. Every curse is a blessing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Is that a thing? Miracles are apocalypses, isn't
that? Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I think so.
I
think I read that in Revelation somewhere.
Certainly. All right. That is all for this week. From Alan.
And James.
Stay low.